Hi, I'm Mitch.
Hi, Mitch.
Oh, not bad. First hour, need a lot of help. I'm a teaching pastor here at Blackhawk, and I help serve with evangelism and outreach. So thank you for allowing me to be here. And it's New Year's, and I want to ask you a question. Have you ever noticed how we compartmentalize our lives? Have you ever noticed how we compartmentalize our lives? And it becomes more evident, I think, at New Year's, because we make New Year's resolutions. And we make them in about five areas of our lives. And first area would be a physical compartment. We make New Year's resolutions about our body. The second one would be the mental compartment. We make New Year's resolutions and we set goals about books we're going to read or degrees we're going to get. The third area would be social or relationship-oriented compartment, where we would set resolutions about friends we're going to get together with or things we're going to accomplish relationally with people. We have the financial compartment, and we make goals, especially if we're in the marketplace, we make goals on finances, on the amount of money we want to earn or sales that we're going to have. And we do this, and we make strong-willed choices. And then the fifth compartment would be the spiritual one. We make goals or resolutions about maybe we're going to go to church more often, or maybe we're going to get involved in some ministry. Well, I used to sit down every January 1st, and I'd set goals because I read a book that told me to in each one of those compartments of my life. And I found that a funny thing would happen, that I would then take control of that compartment of my life, and I'd created a boundary that didn't exist prior, and I kept God out of it. But then as I would study the Bible more, and as I surrendered my life more and more to Christ and grew in my relationship with Him, I found that when I would sit down on January 1st, what I would write down was much more a matter of the heart, of releasing the Holy Spirit in me, in those compartments. So that's what I want to talk about today, and I need five volunteers. I need five people, and the first one I need is somebody to represent the physical compartment. So who wants to represent the physical compartment?
Just raise your hand. Call for me, Mitch. That would be... I mean, boy, very fine specimen of physical fitness.
Hans. Oh, baby, you want to feel my muscle? Yeah, they're good for you, yeah. Hey, Mitchell.
How you doing?
So glad to be here today.
Oh, you're looking good.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent.
Mitchell,
that kind of hurt.
You feel kind of mushy.
I work hard for that mushy.
Yeah. You need to come to the Center for Physical Fitness, and we will pump you up.
Thank you. Here's what I need you to do. Just grab a glass, a cup, and go back there on one of the stools.
Glasses.
All right.
Glasses empty.
You're the man. Now I need somebody to be an image or a symbol for the mental part of life, our intellect. Is there anybody here? You, sir, in the back? Yes, with the... book, yeah, and the pipe. Please, if you could come forward, that would help me.
You know, I'm a little nervous doing this, but as they say, those who can, do. And those who can't, teach. So...
it's me.
I guess it can't be all that bad now, can it, Dr. Mitchell P. Cruz III?
Thank you. You want to take a cup and go back to the stool beside... Hans.
Vladimir.
Okay. Is there anybody who would be kind enough to volunteer for the social part of our lives?
Hello.
Anybody?
Yeah. Oh, just a minute. Me, back here, right here.
Where are you? Oh, yeah. Okay, could you come up? That would be good. You'd be the social part.
Me. On the phone? Social, right? Okay.
She's on the phone. That's good. That's perfect. Come on up.
I'm at church right now. Yeah, that's okay. But it's okay because She's Pastor Kelly's not here. It's just Mitch. Yeah. No. Okay. Well, can I call you back in just a few minutes? Okay, thanks. Bye.
Story of my life.
Hey. So sorry.
Hey, oh, no problem. Yes, you'll be perfect for the role. Know. Perfect. Thanks. Thank you. That's just the seat back there. Talk to those two guys. Fourth, I need a kind of a strong-willed person. I need somebody for the representing the financial part of our life. You're good at making decisions. You're into the marketplace. How about Jeff Winkler? Where are you, Jeff? Jeff, come on up. You're studying to do all that in Palm Beach?
Jeff, have a seat. This is all me, man. This is all me. Have a seat, Jeff.
Okay.
How are you doing? Tim Johnson.
Hey, how are you, Mitch? Good to see you. You want to take a cup and go back there? That'd be great.
Oh, I guess so.
Perfect. And finally, I need someone who could represent the spiritual compartment of our lives. Is there anybody here who could... Oh, yes, with your hand up.
Oh, this is just perfect. Look, I've got this little list here. Go to church, shake hands with the pastor. Oh, thank you.
If you want to just take a cup and walk straight back about 10 steps and go to that final stool and be seated.
Hey, baby cakes, you want to feel my muscle?
Well, yes. The message title today is water. And water is symbolized throughout the Old Testament for the Spirit of God. For the Spirit of God. And what we do when we compartmentalize our lives is we harden our heart in a few areas and we stop the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives and we become God, little g, in that area. So we have a physical compartment. We have the intellect or the mental compartment. We have the social, emotional, relational type compartment. We have the financial, strong will, good marketplace choices compartment.
Can I play the muscles?
Easy.
No, can I have some more?
Okay. There we go. And then we have the spiritual compartment. Okay. Yeah. Do you see that last one? Partly because of the Greek philosophy that Alexander the Great conquered the world with, partly because I think from the first sin, we have compartmentalized God. We have compartmentalized God and damned the flow of the Holy Spirit in each area of our lives. We created boundaries that didn't exist. We've hardened our hearts in those areas of our lives. And we've become God, little g, in that area of our lives. And God did not intend it to be that way. We have compartmentalized God. I want to show you the verse, the theme verse for today, through which we're going to see everything that we say. And it's Jeremiah 2:13. If you want to stand up and read it with me, Jeremiah 2:13, let me set the scene for you. Babylon's getting ready to take Judah in captivity because you'll see in verse 11, if you open your Bible, that they've forsaken God and they had taken idols. And here's what God says. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Let's pray. And now, God, may your Spirit flow. May I model what you're teaching. And may each heart here feel the presence of you and the flow of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now listen. See, did I say seated?
You Americans are so poorly read.
Seated. All right. So we have five compartments. We have built five cisterns. We've committed two sins. We've forsaken the spring of living water. The psalmists say we have a thirst for God. It's interesting, in the Garden of Eden, it says that there was a river flowing. And out of that river flowed the four rivers we talk about in the Garden of Eden. Throughout the prophets, they prophesy that one day a river will flow, meaning the Holy Spirit, water will flow from the temple, which they believed to be at the core or the belly of the earth. The navel of the earth, they called it. All right? So water is symbolic for the Holy Spirit. And we've committed two sins. We've created five cisterns. Five cisterns where we've hardened our heart, compartmentalized our lives, and damned the flow of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, those who damn the flow of the Holy Spirit in their lives will be damned at judgment. So this is serious. First, we have the physical cistern. You want to stand up, Vladimir?
To feel complete, you must have good physique.
To feel complete, you must have good physique. I like that. How do we compartmentalize God out of the physical? It kind of goes one of two ways, but the bottom line is we use the physical for our own satisfaction. So let's go the one way. We eat whatever we want to eat for our satisfaction. We drink whatever we want to drink and how much we want to drink it for our satisfaction. Might eat protein.
Fish. Eggs.
There you go. Water. We might abuse substances. Maybe it's anything from illegal drugs and steroids.
Steroid not.
Okay,
steroid.
Just checking.
Some creams.
What?
Some creams? I get from friend Barry.
Creams, okay. And we do all of that for our own satisfaction. We even work out and build our bodies for our own satisfaction. Okay, so we kind of go the other way. It's like what we're not going to eat, and it's how much harder we're going to work out. But the bottom line is it all is about me. Well, God never intended it to be that way. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, this is lifted from a sexual faithfulness or lack of it context. And that's another way that we abuse our bodies and build the cistern and harden our heart, stop the flow of the Holy Spirit, and make it all about me, God, with a little G in that area of my life. But God didn't intend it to be that way. So I got to thinking, how can I better release the Holy Spirit in my physical life? And so when I started thinking more about bringing God into what I ate, to be more thankful, to not get so hung up on not eating that and eating this and offending the people I'm around. And here's what I did on the workout thing. I decided to, if I was on a treadmill, to put in a worship DVD or a CD if I was running outside. If I was on the elliptical machine where you can read because there's less impact, I'd read the Bible. And so I still try to do that. I'll read the Bible on that day for 40 minutes to an hour in that setting.
Wait.
Yes?
Wait. Eric and Macy Doran, they are needed in nursery. That's what the sign said. Eric. Doran, Macy, over this way.
Thank you. It's true. It's not part of the act. All right, so.
You can read?
I just read.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Maybe you. Can do that and bring the flow of the Holy Spirit into your physical life, into your body. Maybe that's by not having the sexual infidelity that you're contemplating or in. Maybe that's by lighting it up on what you eat and what you drink. Maybe that's getting a little more intentional about what you eat or what you drink. Maybe it's when you work out, if you're going to do that, that you bring the Spirit of God into that. I was on the board of the YMCA after I was running outside, and there was something happening. I was listening to worship music, and I was the blood was flowing, and the oxygen was flowing, and something unique happens when you worship God like that in that kind of a setting. And so I went to the Y director, and I said, hey, I think that we ought to have this thing called praise aerobics, where we play worship music with a good groove. And they work out to that. I think it would be huge. And I said, something happens. when you do that. And he did it, and it ended up being the most popular class. In fact, you couldn't get in because it was sold out. So it's amazing. I encourage you to do that. Well, my people, believers, have committed two sins. We've forsaken the spring of living water. This is our symbol of the spring of living water, since I didn't bring a hose on stage. And we've dug cisterns, five cisterns. Cisterns that are broken and can't hold water, physical, mental, social, financial, spiritual. Now we're going to look at the intellect, mental. What we do here is we get knowledge for knowledge's sake apart from God. And we grow in that, and then we go on autopilot and we just make decisions. Make decisions based on the way we were taught and the knowledge that we got apart from God. And we just go on autopilot. And what kind of happens is our thoughts become a very safe place for a Christian to sin, to lust for someone who's not your spouse, to desire a life that you don't have. And it's interesting that those thoughts will eventually come out. We don't think they will, but they eventually come out of our mouth in the social compartment. They eventually come out with the way we live and steward our bodies. And so here's what I'm asking you to do, to release the Holy Spirit in your thoughts. Look at what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension. See, we have a tendency to pretend that we're smarter than we are. That sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought, not some, and make it obedient to Christ. I don't think you will succeed at that if you don't first release the Holy Spirit in your life and learn more about the Bible. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to do one of two things, but it involves reading your Bible every day. I've tried to read through a translation, a different translation, every 6 months to a year. I'm going to take a couple guys through the Bible this year by reading only 4 chapters a day. 4 chapters a day, and you can get through the Bible in a year. You need to do that to take every thought captive and obedient to Christ. You've got to have the Word of God in you. Now, if you say, oh, Mitch, I can't do it. Nope, just can't do it. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to pick even little bitty parts of Scripture and memorize them. So write that down. You're either going to read the Bible through in a year, 4 chapters a day, or you're going to memorize Scripture. I go to extremes, and I was doing this, and I was trying to change this in my life. And I was on an airplane, and I memorized the Sermon on the Mount. And I think it's 119 verses, and I'm going through them, and I'm going through them. And you kind of know how you go through them, and you stop, and you're trying to remember, and a little bit of time goes by. I remember looking at my watch and thought, man, on this airplane, the time had just flown. And it just hit me that I would think about typically whatever was in front of me, whatever I wanted to do, whatever I'd hardened my heart about, whatever picture, whatever person, whatever was in front of me, that's where my thoughts would go. And then I realized I can take every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And the flow of the Holy Spirit by drinking of the living water changes me. And the cistern goes away. My people, believers, have committed two sins. They have forsaken the spring of living water, the Spirit of God, and dug cisterns, broken cisterns that won't hold water, 5 of them, physical, mental, social, financial, and spiritual. Let's look at the social. What we do when we build this cistern and we dam the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the water, and we create this compartment. Oh, you got a call.
Sorry, here, hold this.
You got it.
Hello? Oh, yeah, I'm still in
church. Is she always
this way? Yeah, Mitch, that's what I
said. Would you hire her?
I wouldn't hire her.
Well, of course he's wearing black. He always wears black. Yeah, okay, I'll tell him. Okay, bye. You know, we go to fashion shows and stuff all the time, and she said to tell you that well, black is in, so
it should
look trim, too.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. Okay, so what we do with the social compartment is we have friends, we make relationships, write this down, for our benefit only. I can't tell you how many times Kelly and Steve and I have heard, I want to marry him or I want to marry her because he or she completes me. Translated, I'm building a cistern, a cracked cistern that will not hold water because my completion needs to come from the flow of the Holy Spirit in me. We do it with our children. We do it with our social relationships. It might be for benefit for us for business. But God's designed something different. 1 John 4:19 to 21. Let's look at it. 1 John 4:19 through 21. And you can't compartmentalize God in your relationships because God is love and He loved us first. There is no such thing as being in the kind of social relationship God's designed for you and not making it about other people. God loved, agape, self-sacrificial, serving love. It's about others' relationship for their benefit with God. God loved us first. Verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, and we tend to do that, right? We got our the companions or the friends that we want. We've got the ones we don't want. And so if anybody hates his brother, Jesus said, everyone's your brother. He's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God, self-sacrificial, loves God, agape love, must also self-sacrificial, love his brother. It's interesting. Proverbs 18:24 talks about this kind of a person and this kind of a heart and this kind of a cistern. And it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, the way God designed it to be a real friend, by releasing the Holy Spirit in my relationships. A man of many companions in Hebrew, many companions, and ruin is the same root word. And it's a picture, get this, it's a picture of hardening my heart and making a cistern, a cracked cistern that won't hold water, and it breaking to pieces when it gets brittle. That's the picture that it makes. It's amazing. James 4:4 says this, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And does that say that I shouldn't be a friend of sinners like Jesus was? Well, if you read the three verses before it, it doesn't mean that at all. It's being a friend of the world. It's building a cistern that I will make every relationship about me and for my benefit. That's what that context is. And so what would happen if in 2005 you'd release the Holy Spirit in your relationships? You're friends with people who are outside the kingdom? That would be evangelistic. You're friends with people who are inside the kingdom. That would be discipleship. They might disciple me. This is what convicted me to start a small group and get couples together who are thirsty for God and get them out of their cisterns and out of their compartmentalization of life and release the Holy Spirit in them. What would it look like in 2005 if you would release the Holy Spirit in your relationships? My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and dug cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns, which cannot hold water, five of them. Physical, mental, social, financial, and spiritual. Let's look at financial. You can be seated, that'd be all right. So what we do is this is an area of our will. See, this is interesting. This is our life. The intellect, the emotions, our social relationships, and the will, the way we handle that in finances, that's our soul. You put all, you add the spirit, our vertical connection to God, and that's our heart. And you add the body, the very trim, fit body, and you got life. Now it's lived out, the skin on the human heart. And so here's what we do and how we build a cistern to stop the flow of the Holy Spirit in our financial world. We say, give God 10%.
5%.
What?
5%.
What do you mean?
Well, Mitch, my annual income is well into six figures. My 5% is more than most people's 10%, and probably more than Pipeboy makes in a year.
Okay. Well, there's one way to look at it. Give God 5 or 10, but God has intended something totally different. God's intended that we give him 100% of our resources, 100% of our time, of our talent, of our treasures, releasing the Holy Spirit in our lives and giving all of it to God. Let's look at what Deuteronomy 8 says, verses 11 through 18. God's designed something differently, and he warned us. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, because your heart became proud and you created a cistern. And he brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. And he did bring physical water. He was the source. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:4 that Jesus was the spiritual rock with the spiritual water in the desert. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. I've said it. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. When I made a lot of money and I was building a cistern and I had my own goals, I said, look what I did. When I lost a lot of money, I said, look what I did. I changed and I started to see it as a flow of the Holy Spirit, and God could handle the resources however he wanted to. My part was to surrender my heart to him, including my financial decisions. And I began to say, look what God did. It's a radical transformation. Look what Deuteronomy 15 says. If there's a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted. Don't build a cistern. See, they were made with stone. And in Palestine, flowing water was rare. But when you found a spring, that meant life. That meant life for your cattle. That meant life for your sheep. That meant life for you to drink. That meant water for your pastures. But cisterns, they would take the roof water and they'd try to funnel it into stone, hard. And they would plaster it with lime plaster, and it would crack and it would break. And that's the picture. And there's this picture all throughout the Bible that we harden our heart when we compartmentalize our lives, just like this. Do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Look what it says. Rather be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs, because your source and my source is a spring of living water. It's the Holy Spirit, and he will never go dry. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they built five cisterns. Cisterns that don't hold water, physical, mental, social, financial. What would it look like? What would it look like in your life if you would release the Holy Spirit in your finances? If you honored God with your car, if you honored God with your house, maybe, you know, how you act in your car and who you invite in it and what you say and how you listen. Same thing in your home. Maybe you need to open your home to a small group. What would it look like if you honored God with 100% of your time, talent, and treasures? Well, finally, we built a spiritual cistern. A spiritual cistern. We've compartmentalized God. And you might say, well, how do we do that? Actually, this one's the easiest one of all. because we limit God in this cistern to a building, to an hour a week, to a quiet time, to an ABF, to a Bible study, to a small group. And we kind of take control back of the other 167 hours of the week. And man has been doing it with legalistic religion since the first sin. And God did not intend it to be that way. Look at Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Devout Jews would recite this twice a day. Now look at this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. No cisterns. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. They'd recite it twice a day. So I took the challenge. I memorized it, and I'm not doing well at reciting it twice a day. But I checked myself, and you might want to do this. To take this cistern and release the Holy Spirit in your spiritual life, to give God every moment, recognizing that every act is a spiritual one. You might want to memorize this, and you might want to recite it twice a day, because God is not made to be compartmentalized. When we say we believe, something unique happens, and it's the way God designed it. People, we've committed two sins. We've forsaken the spring of living water, and we've dug for ourselves cisterns, five cisterns. We've compartmentalized our lives, and we've dammed the flow of the Holy Spirit in each one of them, hardening our hearts, becoming God, little g, in that area of our lives. And we've done it with a physical cistern. We've done it with a mental cistern. We've done it with social and our relationships. We've done it financially, and we've built a cistern spiritually. What would it look like if in 2005 you would release the Holy Spirit in your life physically? Do the worship CD, the worship DVD. Read the Bible when you lift weights. Be thankful when you eat. What would it look like if mentally, if your thoughts were taken and made them obedient to Christ because you read the Bible or you memorized Scripture? What would it look like if you released the Holy Spirit in your relationships? And every time you go out and every time you shop, you can release the Holy Spirit, because every encounter with another human being is a chance to release the Holy Spirit. What would that look like? What would it look like if financially you gave all your time, all your talents, all your treasures to God and honored Him and released the Holy Spirit in your career and in your financial decisions, the way you treat your employees, the way you work with your vendors, the way you pay bills on time, the way you make transactions? What would that look like for you? In church, what would it look like spiritually if we would release the Holy Spirit in 168 hours of our lives and fully surrender all to Him, recognizing that every act is a spiritual one? What would God do? I want to show you. I'm asking them to come up, each one of you, and pour your water back in the pitcher. We're going to look at something Jesus said, and this is what He's designed. And I want to set the scene for you. Jesus says this, and we're going to look at it, at the last feast of the year. And He's in the temple. And there are a lot of people there, probably closer to 500,000 than 2,000, like on this campus today, closer to the size of the crowd at the Indianapolis 500 versus here. And what would happen at the Feast of Tabernacles is the priest would lead each day for 7 days the people out to their source of water, the Gihon Spring, and they'd come through the water gate, and they'd take a pitcher, a gold pitcher of water that they had, and they'd pour it on the altar, commemorating commemorating what we talked about, God leading and being the spiritual drink and giving them physical water for the Israelites through the Exodus. And they would pray for autumn rains for their crops. And they'd carry a branch. The people would carry a branch in one hand, being indicative, a tree branch, of the tabernacles or the booths that were built in the desert when the Israelites, 2.5 million of them, were in the wilderness. And they'd carry a citrus branch, recognizing, giving God the credit for all of life, for the harvest as well. Okay? Now, on the seventh day, they did it seven times. Seven times. And so they go out to the spring, they bring the pitcher of water, they'd sing from Isaiah, and they go out and they do it again seven times. And on the seventh time, here's what happened. And remember, it's a huge crowd of people. It's John 7:37, I think is where we're going to start. And Jesus, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, whoever fully surrenders his entire life to me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from the core of his being, from his belly, from his heart." By this he meant the Spirit. The Spirit whom those who believed, who fully surrendered their lives to him, who those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified, dead, buried, resurrected, ascended into heaven, and providing his Spirit to live through those who fully surrendered their lives to him. God didn't intend for us to make cisterns. Rather, all of life is an opportunity to release the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to drink from the stream, the spring of living water. But here's what God intends. When we fully surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, he transforms the color of everything. God says, "My people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water that flows and quenches your thirst. And they've dug cisterns, five cisterns, five hard-hearted, broken cisterns that can't hold water. Jesus Christ's blood has paid the price for those sins. And when we fully surrender our lives to him, he transforms the color of everything by releasing the Holy Spirit, his Spirit in us. And that changes a culture. That changes the world. That changes me. And it changes you." I've asked the team to come up. And we're going to sing a song. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, releasing the Holy Spirit in all of my life. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'd like you to join with them in singing. And if you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you're hard-hearted. You have those cisterns, quite possibly, and now you see it for the first time. And your God, little g, G-O-D, your God in your life, why not come alive in 2005 and surrender your life to Jesus Christ? He's paid it all. You can add nothing but a humble heart willing to receive his grace. But people who have come in here today as fully surrendered to Christ, and you've compartmentalized your life, you've taken back control in certain areas. As we sing this song, surrender that back to the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. Align God and his Spirit in all of life as you sing this song. Let's sing.